do you want to be in V-I-C-T-O-I? Got a big stain face on, don't be too low, too high. I'm just gonna let me ring your mind. I'm gonna get you to be to me. Change that. You can win that.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Children of God, say amen again. Are you excited to be in God's house today? It's come now, time to a very significant portion of this worship experience. Hopefully you have tuned into the Spirit of God and you have worshiped God and you have praised God. Scripture tells us that He inhabits the praise. And if you have praised God right and your spirit is now in tune, you should be excited. Because now it's time for the hearing and the receiving of God's word. Have a musical melody to it, nor would it have a drum beat, but it's exactly what you need. Today I'm proud to present no stranger to us. He is a friend of the New Zion Missionary Baptist Church. Also glad to have his wife, Pastor Stewart, with him today. He's introduced himself to New Zion several times. Matter of fact, he's very significant in this day in which we're celebrating now, if you know the history behind today. If your heart and mind is clear, be ready to hear from God. After the selection by Minister of Music's Choice, We'll be in the hands of that of our speaker for today, the Bishop Kelvin Stewart. Hear ye him.
Trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God.
I learned to trust in God.
Through it all.
So good to be with New Zion Missionary Baptist Church. Oh, our God is worthy to be praised. Let the redeemed of the Lord shout so and give God a praise. When I walked into the sanctuary, I thought I was in the wrong place. I said, look here. Look here. I got good news for you. God is in this house. I just need you to do me one favor. Let the devil know that you're glad that you woke up this morning in your right mind and you come to bless him and give him honor. Oh, praises now. Lord, I feel like shouting already. Hadn't even got started yet, but I feel like praising him. When I think about all what he has done for me and all how he brought me out, I feel like dance, 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 dance all night long. Clapping in my hands, stomping in my feet. Go ahead, amen, New Zion, y'all sit down. Go ahead, New Zion, y'all sit down. Hell no, that's a church in Winfield called New Zion Missionary Baptist Church that's in love with Jesus, that's in love with the Word, that's in love with that pastor, that's in love with that leadership. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Hey. Amen, 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 amen. Yeah, 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 yeah. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God is about to mess you up and take you higher and higher and higher and higher. Glory to God, you may be saved. We thank the Lord, amen, for being with you here when my administrator called me and she mentioned that I was invited to come for the 10th year Pastoria anniversary. I feel very honored to be here because it was 10 years ago. The Lord sent me in this house. And trust me, the Lord and I had an argument after I left. I said, you didn't have to do me like that. He wouldn't allow me to bring no church folks. He says, you're on assignment. And when I stood in this pulpit 10 years ago, my heart was racing so fast. My blood pressure was up. But I refused to go back to Jonesboro and not obey God. And look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. I highly, highly, highly love Pastor Tommy Ham, who was a good friend of ours, a great pastor, a great leader in this city. And to see what God has done with his son. Somebody say, it's biblical. Yeah, it's biblical. What God is doing with this great man of God, Tamir Ham, we thank God for him. Man of God, we honor you this day. Thank you. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being a friend, a brother in the gospel, and to your baby brother. Dr. Gavin Ham. We honor you, man of God. And we thank God for you doing a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job in Hobbs, Louisiana. Oh, hell is in trouble. God is doing a great work. And to the grandmother who keep both of these boys in line. Sister Earlene, we thank God for you, precious woman of God. We thank God for you. And to the lady of my life, my wife, my lady, my girl, who's been on my side for 40 plus years. I thank God for her. We thank God for her. And immediately after the service, we're going to have to immediately, don't panic. I'm not come here to do nothing. Some of y'all are like, oh, Lord Jesus. But immediately after the service, we're going to slip out. We definitely had a tragic in the family, and we just refuse to cancel with you. So my lovely wife lost a family member that is very close to her, and we're going to be going to funeralized, amen, her family member immediately after service. So if you see me slip out, it's not that.
Amen. I'm leaving. I have another place that I have to be. Amen. You love the Lord? I want to go into the word of the Lord this morning. Now, whatever is the custom of this house, you can obey it. If the custom is to stand when we read the word of the Lord, then you can stand. If the custom is to sit, then you can sit. Whatever your custom is, I'm fine with that. I want you to go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Chapter 4, starting with verse 8. Many times, amen, when I'm called to minister at a church, I come to do what I'm asked to do. That's 52 Sundays out of a year. 53 of those Sundays, we preaching to you, allowing you to leave out of here encouraged, lifted up. Well, today is his day. And so my focus is going to be toward the man of God. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 8. And we're going to park at verse 17. I'm going to be reading this from the Good News Translation. But you should be able to follow me in the King James as well. One day, Elisha went to Shunem, where a rich woman lived. She invited him to a meal. From then on, every time he went to Shunem, he would have his meal at her house. She said unto her husband, "I am sure that this man who comes here so often is a holy man. Let's build a small room on the roof, put a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp in it, and he can stay there whenever he visits us." Yes, sir. One day, Elijah returned to Shunem and went up to his room to rest. He told his servant Gehazi to go and call the woman. And when she came, he said to Gehazi, "Ask her, what can I do for her in return for all the trouble she's had in providing for our needs? Maybe she would like me to go to the king or the army commander and put in a good word for her. I have all I need here among my own people," she answered. Elijah asked Gehazi, "What can I do for her then?" He answered, "Well, she has no son, and her husband is an old man. Tell her to come here," Elijah ordered. She came and stood in the doorway, and Elijah said to her, "By this time next year, you will be holding a son in your arms." Oh, she explained, "Please, sir, don't lie to me. You know my man is old. You're a man of God." What did the text say? But Elisha had said, "At about that time, the following year, she gave birth to a son." Let's just talk for a little while. R-O-O-M-S, rooms built for miracles. The woman in the story is a unique woman. She's not called by her name, but she's mentioned in the story as a woman of great status. The Good News translation says she is a rich woman. She's a woman of prominence, a woman of influence. The King James Version says that you just read, she is a great woman. And although many women in the Bible did mighty things for God, she is the only one addressed in the Word of God as a great woman. Oh, Mary, that gave birth to Jesus. Blessed art thou. But here, this woman who has no name is associated with a word called great. She's a noble woman with high moral principles. She's placed in the text, y'all. She's placing the text to teach us today how to treat the man of God. She's placed there to give you and I a lesson how to treat the man of God. This woman, she compels Elijah, rather Elisha. She compels him. She presses him. She constrains him to stay at her house. No. When you're passing through Shittim, I want you to stay here. I want you to stay at my house. Do you know, brothers and sisters, you really attract who you are? Oh, yeah. Come on, talk back to me. You attract who you are. Saved folks attract saved folks. Sinners attract sinners. And troublemakers attract troublemakers. And worshipers just attract worshipers. And praisers just attract praisers. You attract who you are. And she tells this man of God, she says, I know that you're in the city, but I want you to stay here. I want you to stay here. Because your associates are a reflection of who you are. Y'all quiet on me now. Your associates, who you hang with, is truly a reflection of who you are. Someone said, amen, that we are the average of the closest five people we spend the most time with. And this woman chose to spend time with Elijah. That's why the Bible says, amen, to know them that labor among you. Know them that labor among you. Amen. They watch for your soul. Are y'all with me now? Huh? See, Elijah was Elijah. When you say Elijah and Elisha, it sounds close alike. One is a mentor and another one is a protege. And Elisha was the protege of, come on somebody, Elijah. See, everybody needs somebody to teach you something. Everybody needs a mentor. And so you have to understand that Elisha was a different kind of breed. He was a different kind of breed here. Are you with me? The Bible says, here it is, she sensed. Nobody told her anything. She just sensed. She had never met the man. She just sensed. Have you ever been in a place and somebody asks you a question, amen, and they say, oh, I knew it was something different about you? She sensed that, amen, praise God, amen, that he was different.
She perceived that he was a different kind of man. She was not, let me sneak this in. She was not like the other preachers in town. Are y'all with me? She was not, amen, he was not like, help me, Holy Ghost. He was not like the other preachers that was in town. This man was a prophet with high morals like her. Had high morals. Elijah had high morals. He had integrity like her. He had a good name like her. But you do know that Elijah was not like because of who his mentor was. But she didn't allow, amen, the street committee to toxin her spirit. She didn't allow what folks said behind closed doors, what folks said in the barbershop, what folks said in the beautician shop, what folks said when they got home. She sensed that he was different. Oh, you got to know who's among you. You got to know who's among you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. She is so impressed by his relationship with God. How many of you know it's all about relationship? It's about our relationship we have with God. It's not about how good we sing. It's not about how good we can dance. It's not about how well we can preach. It's not about how good we can be a deacon. It does not matter if we can play the keyboard, play the drums. It does not matter. It's all about our relationship. And she says, this man not playing church, he has a relationship. He has a relationship with God. And I want to spend some time with him. I'm almost finished. She's so impressed by his relationship with God that she says to her husband, let's build a room. Let's build a room for this man that I sense is a holy man. She said, let's build a room. And she sensed that there is something. Here it is now. Here's your shout. She sensed. She perceived. One of the translation says. She perceived. She know it in her knower. She know it in her unction. She know just by knowing. He's different. And what she says to her husband, there is something on this man of God's life that I want on our life. And she says, let's build, amen, him a room, amen, glory to God. And the Bible says, amen, that she says that this man of God, that Elijah, praise God, has something on his life that she needed. You see, when you can recognize that God's hand is on a person, God's favor is on a person, God's mercy is on a person, that's the person you want to hook up with. That's the person you don't want the devil to separate you from, because what's on their life will eventually come upon your life. Are y'all with me here? You have to sense when God is with a person. What you think? Well, what you think about it? I don't need you to give me what you think about it. I'm looking at his life, and I'm looking at his walk, and I'm looking at his talk, and it seems to me he's practicing what he preached. Are y'all with me? See, that's what happened with Ruth and Naomi. When Naomi lost everything, her daughter-in-laws lost their husbands. Naomi told Ruth, go on back where you come from. Ruth said, you must be crazy. Child, ever since I've been around you, my life been different. Your people are going to be my people, and your God going to be my God. Are you with me? You see, brothers and sisters, we have to build rooms before we need them. We have to build something that connect us to the man of God before we need the man of God. Oh, I'm gonna say something, daughter. We're gonna walk in just a little bit, okay? You have to build the room before you need the room. Here it is. Rooms are defined as a portion of space within a building or structure separated by walls or partition. Y'all like that? Here we go. Let's ride. A room is designed with a specific purpose and function in mind. You just don't build a room and say, oh, that's just a room. No, there is a specific purpose and function that you have in mind when you build a room. You know, like when you built this sanctuary room, you built it to praise the Lord in it. You built it to give God praise and to give him worship. Glory to God. You're not going to have, amen, praise God, the DJ come up in here. You're not going to have R&B music, amen, being played up in the house, and we swinging out, glory to God, and we doing the twists, and we doing the bump, glory to God. This room is not a club room. This room is not a clubhouse. It is the Lord's house, and it was built for one purpose, that when we come up in here, we come with a praise and a hand clap and a shout and to give God some glory up in here. And since we're already in the sanctuary room, let's go ahead and give him what the room was made for. Give him what the room was made for. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, the room is not made for mess. The room is not made for gossip. The room is not made for division. It's made to give God the glory. Ooh, ooh. Some of y'all done been here since 11 o'clock. You hadn't clapped your hand. You hadn't said praise the Lord. You hadn't danced one bit. You forgot what room you in. You are in the sanctuary room. Glory to God. Where the praises go. You are in the blessings come down. Where the glory comes down. Where God heals. Where God delivers. Where God set free. Where God saved. Somebody clap and give God a praise up in this place. Hey. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You can't touch your neighbor, but just look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, we in the right room. Glory to God. Because a room is designed. A room is designed with a specific purpose and function in mind. The naming of a room tells you the function thereof. The dining room tells you this is where we dine and eat. The living room tells you this is where we relax with family and guests. The bedroom tells you, bedroom. See, y'all got it now. Bedroom. Y'all got it now. It tells you by this name what it was built for. It was built for beds and sleep. The bathroom tells you this is where we release the pressure. I remember when I was young and I was sitting at the table and I was eating a sandwich and I had to go to the bathroom and I decided to take my sandwich with me. And my mama come up in there and say, boy, you don't put no food in the bathroom. I didn't know I was hungry. But the room is designed with a specific purpose. The prayer room. Y'all getting it now? The prayer room tells you this is where we pray to God. The miracle room tells you this is where miracles happen. And in 2022, we have to build rooms for miracles. One of the things, brothers and sisters, so I'll quickly race to the end here. The woman makes a great investment into Elijah. She says, here it is, let's build a small room on the roof, put a table, put a bed, a chair, and a lamp in it, and here it is, he can stay there whenever he comes through. Somebody just talk back and say, what an investment. You know, amen, can I talk to us? Are we live streaming today? Back that up. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. We have to learn how to make investments in our Elisha. When you sense that your Elisha is a man of God. Because this woman teaches us in the text how to treat a man of God and build a room for miracles. See, here it is. This woman provides a place of comfort and rest for Elijah. She provides it. Uh-huh. Look what he says. The scripture says in verse 11, one day Elijah returned to Shunem and went up to his room. She built it and designated it for the man of God, which is equivalent to an investment into this man's life. I know that oftentimes we've been taught to hold down and starve and keep control over. And can't allow them to go too far because we haven't met this woman yet. The woman teach you that there is no limits to what God can do when you invest in his Elisha. I remember pastor, when I started pastoring, I had a house of broke folks. I had sister broke. I had brother broke. I had little children broke. And I would look at them and feel sorry because they were broke. And In prayer, I was praying for God to bless them, and God bless the people of God, and bless your people, God, and
and turn it around for them. And brothers and sisters, on a Sunday morning when we would get the offering and we had $150 in it, I would shout glory to God. Ooh, we got some money today. We got $150. Even the little kids were putting in some change. And in prayer, God began to share with me and deal with me. Amen. As I was praying, he says, you the problem. He says, you the problem. I can't bless them because you in the way. He says, I can't bless them because, watch this now, I'm going to tell the truth and shame the devil this morning. He says, you can't expect them to live something that you hadn't taught them. So God began, amen, to tell me, get out of that way, because the only way that I'm going to elevate them, they have to elevate you. I say, what do you mean, God? He says, you have to teach them how to invest and build rooms for miracles. Oh, it's getting tight now. Somebody just turn on the air conditioner. Ooh, we need help now. And I begin to teach them, and I begin to teach them how, amen, praise God, that you have to believe God and you have to trust God. And if, when that's favor on a person's life, and when that's grace on a person's life, and when God is with that person and you see the hand of God that's on that person, when you see the devil fighting that person, you don't talk about it. You fall down on your knees and you say, I'm going to pray. You're going to get your hand off my man of God. You're not going to touch my man of God. When somebody come to you and say, child, let me tell you, and the child, let me tell you, I don't think that word that pastor preached Sunday, you say, talk to the hand, the devil is alive. You're not going to stop what God has for me. I can't get nobody to help me in this Holy Ghost powerful church this morning. You got to look at the devil and say, you might have hindered my parents, my daughter, my sister, but I'm going higher than I've ever been in my life, and the man of God is going to take me there. The man of God is going to take me there. So then, rumors started. Y'all better watch Stuart. All he want is your money. You better watch that. Every time you look up, all them folks talking about Stuart this. Bishop, no, he preached. Oh, pastor, he brought a word today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Then that word blesses. Glory to God. Well, it looked like to me y'all worshiping him. Lord, I must be in the wrong house now. Y'all act like Elijah God. He's a man like me. That's your problem. You perceive him to be a man like you. That's slick, that's sly, that's a carny, that don't cheat, that have no integrity. And that's why. That's your problem. That's the problem. You're sick and can't get healed. That's the problem. You're broke and can't get no money. That's the problem. Your children is going haywire and you can't do nothing with them. That's the problem. Lord, let me get out of here. Lord, I got to get out of here. Lord, I got to get out of here. Oh, praise his name. And so, watch this. Watch this. Say. Now this is going to make the devil mad. But we got to speak the truth. All those college students who just started believing that God's hand was on the house. That God's hand was on the family. Those people who started sowing and invested into the kingdom. On church, we need a bus. The bus gonna cost X amount of dollars. No problem when we need the money. Investing in the kingdom and investing in the work. All of those people today no longer live in Jonesboro. But they send checks back that's so big. I can't get no help up in here. Because now their life is not six figures. Their life is double six figures. And they're living in gated communities. And they're supervisors and entrepreneurs. But at one time, there was a college student that somebody was trying to stop them. Somebody was trying to hinder them. But they believed what God said. And now they're blessed. And their children is blessed. And their home is blessed because they built rooms for a miracle. Let me move on. You see, she provided. Y'all still with me? That's what the woman teaching us in the text. The Bible said she provided a place of comfort and rest for Elijah. This is when you know that you're building a room for miracles. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive the prophet's reward. Now, when you look at this, you're probably like me. What is the prophet reward? What is the prophet reward? If you receive him as a prophet, you get the reward that comes with a prophet. If you receive him as a preacher and not just as, oh, that's old Joy boy there. That's old Joseph's son there. You remember, Jesus could not do no miracles in his own hometown because, you know, that's Joseph's boy right there. Oh, I remember that old boy when he was in the more dirty diapers. I remember him. Child, I remember him when his old head was so nappy that to get cooking oil to straighten out his head. I remember them days. Is how you see the man. Listen. Well, baby, you gave it to me. Listen. To receive what's on the life of Pastor Tamir Ham, it is determined where you place him in your life. Determine where you place him. Now, my children live with me until I kick them all out. Got them all out except the last one, Tim. And y'all, I don't know if y'all know Tim. I've been trying to get Tim out the house for years, and Tim had prophesied to us and told us he wasn't going nowhere. And every time he was said, I said, lying prophet. I just couldn't find a way to kick him out with his mama. So when the pandemic came, ooh, glory. Thank you, Jesus.
son, you got to go. But my daughter was trying to have a baby. And she comes to me years ago, she says, we're having problems having a baby. I said, well, what's wrong? She says, well, Dad, my tubes are blocked. And the doctors say I won't be able to have no baby. And she says, and to complicate everything, I have what's called fibroids. I said, okay. I didn't say nothing. So I would tease my son-in-law, and I said, listen, son, about the second, third year, still no baby. Third, fourth, fifth year, pastor, still no baby. 6 years, still no baby. So I started saying, brother, do you need me to give you a book? I told my son, and I said, do you need a book? I have some books at the house. You can come in my library and get a book. And he would do just like y'all. He would laugh about it. And in 2017, I was preaching in 2017, the word of the Lord. I was preaching the word of the Lord on a Sunday morning. All of a sudden, the Lord spoke. Amen. As I was preaching, I looked at my daughter, and the Lord says, tell her she's going to have that baby. And I spoke a word, and I told her what God says. And then in 2019, as I was preaching the word of the Lord, God said, tell her now that baby is coming. And it was so strong upon me on that Sunday morning. I looked at my baby, amen, and I said it this way, if I am a true man of God, God said, you're going to have this baby. The church took off. Everybody was running, jumping, shouting, falling on the floor, running behind her. And glory to God, when I released that word, I said, good God Almighty, what I just allowed to come out of my mouth? Because I had the evidence that she could not have a baby. I had the evidence that she had fibroids. I had everything that was against her from having a baby. I had the evidence, and God let that slip out of me. It's how you see the person that's speaking into your life. It's how you look at them. Had she just said, oh, that's just daddy. You know, oh, daddy just crazy. I ain't studying what daddy said. But she took a hold of what the word that came out of the mouth of the man of God that watched over her soul. And in 2020, praise God, she came to the house about around February. She said, daddy, guess what? She says, I'm pregnant. We about shouted. We about praise God. And in October of 2020, on the 30th, she delivered a baby girl because God said it. God said it. You say, how did she do it? She did it because she built a room for miracles. What are you saying? She served the Lord. She sung in the choir. She prayed. She fasted. She gave tithes. She kept building a room that God says, family. Tell your neighbor, build your room, build your room, build your room. Pray until something happens. Shout until the devil gets mad. Sit up. Let me get these four miracles and let's go home. Four miracles and we're going home. Woo! You got to build it. You have to build it. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. You have to build it. You see, you have to build it. Man, she worked that thing. Ooh, she worked that thing. Oh, she worked that thing. I'm sorry. Ooh. Shut up. Four miracles. Four miracles that took place in this woman's life. And I want you to look at it and you say, are those miracles? I'm going to suggest to you, yes, they are. She says, listen, miracle number one is that here is a man that she had never met, but yet believed. That's a miracle. Say, what do you mean? She didn't have to go try to find out his history. She didn't have to go and inquire from other people. She believed in him. And the Bible says that if you believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be ecstatic. Oh, I believe God. Yeah, I got you. But every Sunday, there's a word that comes forth out of the man of God's mouth. And that word that comes out of his mouth is a prophetic word. It's a life-changing word. She believed in him. But then it goes on to say that if you believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. But here's the next thing it says, if you believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Prospering comes by believing in what the man of God is saying. If he says, don't do it, y'all so smart. If he says that's not the one, that's not the one. Babe, I will wait right now. Don't buy that right now. What's wrong with him? I make my own money. But what you didn't know, the company getting ready to close. You see, you have to believe in the prophet, the word that God gives him. That's where you prosper. Number two, play real softly. I'm going home. We did our shouting. Number two. Thank you, sir. She was obedient to the prophetic word spoken in her life. See, it's one thing to hear it, but can you walk it out? You know, the Bible says just don't be a hearer of the word of God, but be a doer. I told a young man in my church, as I was saw him grow up and everything, and saw a young man in my church, and I told the young man, I said, listen, I'm seeing trouble. I said, your friends are not who you think they are. And I said, I need you to be careful because they're going to set you up. That was on a Sunday. On a Tuesday, he got caught up with some guys that ended up getting killed. And he just so happened to be in the vehicle with this group of men. Gun was found, drugs was found. And by the grace of God, because his mother had built rooms for miracles,